Hello, operatives. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 13 of Once Upon a Kill Team, the podcast about narrative play in Warhammer 40k Kill Team. I'm Jason.
And I'm Sean, and we want to talk to you about building stories around the gameplay in this grimdark, terrible universe. In this episode, we look back at the last year of Kill Team, models we painted, games played, and great experiences we've had. What's the state of play in the game, and what are we looking forward to in the upcoming year? We're gonna start rounding things off. Jason, have you been doing any hobbying over this winter time?
Yeah, baby. This is actually not a bad time for me. I often have very few commitments, so this is often a hobby concentrated era. Anyway, yes, I've
Perfect.
I've converted my Silver Skull Phobos team over to Homebrew Chapter Hearts of Oak. And this includes the Impulsor tank that I did that mostly serves as a bit of terrain for Kill Team.
Sweet.
And as you pointed out, possibly unfairly, they're 80% done because they already had silver bodies and I've just added the sort of green shoulder pads and stuff. Now I've now got two units of Homebrew Hearts of Oak teams, probably soon to be a third when the Space Marine Scouts turn up. But that was good. That felt excellent. Topical, I used some spare silver wrapping paper and I cut it into some shapes and they are now templates for smoke grenades. I often have a real problem sort of visualizing, you know, when you just measure 2 inches around, I have a real problem with my measuring sort of what exactly is that obscuring. So I've done one that's a full circle with a hole in the middle, like a donut shape. And then I've done two sort of 180 degree heart, you know, semicircles.
Up against terrain and whatnot.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of thinking that'll certainly helped me a lot, and I feel I've done something. I don't know, is it for the environment if I've used a scrap of wrapping paper that I would have thrown away? I don't know. Who knows?
That's recycling.
Anyway, it's also just a big excuse for me to get out the old laminator. It's one of my sort of secret, guilty pleasures, laminating stuff. That was one of the first treats to myself in lockdown, was I just ordered a laminator. Back in, do you remember?
The 2021, the high life you lead. I try not to.
Yeah. Anyway, so I did a bit of that, and then I'll do what we usually do on this podcast. I'll show you a model, which is
please do.
Here is my Kazakin sharpshooter, but previously he was a Tempestus Scion, just regular guy. And I have given him a cloak, green stuff cloak, and I've given it so it looks like he's wrapped a bit of cloth around his sort of barrel.
To hide the scope.
And I've sort of added the fantastic sort of nest of scopes that you get with the infiltrators in the Phobos box.
Yeah.
So I've added that and I've popped a suppressor on the front. So he looks quite snipery now, I hope. And
oh, fantastic.
I am often still a bit scared of green stuff, but it's one of those things. The more I've used it, the easier it's got. So I need to get over myself a bit there. That looks nice.
I've still yet to get over my fear of green stuff. I've done a little bit, but nothing extensive yet. I think maybe that's on the resolution for next year.
Okay, we'll come to that. What have you got? I think you boxed everything up last week, but have you got anything?
I had boxed everything up nicely. I've been given new boxes since, so I got a Boomdacker Snaz wagon for Christmas, which of course I'm doing up for my Corpse Grinder cult for Necromunda. It's gonna be an ash wastes vehicle, so nice. I'm gonna give it the dusting of the red sands and everything and make it look like these Mad Max water people are trying to, you know, I'm really tempted to add chariot spikes out of the wheels, you know, yep. for when you get up and close to other vehicles and everything. Those kind of like wacky racers add-ons is really what I'm hoping to bring to the table.
Bearing in mind modern vehicles get safer for pedestrians, we have pedestrian crumpled bits on the bonnet, and you're adding spikes to wheels. Well,
although exactly.
It's not going to help parallel parking, is it?
No.
That sounds very cool.
Enough space around the vehicle. Yeah. And then I've also just pulled the pin on someone in the Guildford Gaming groups offered to print me up some their kind of dirt bikes. You know the Attilan Jackals from the Gene Stealer cults?
Yeah, I love them.
The Gene Stealer Brood Brothers on bikes. So I'm going to print up a couple of bikes because my Felgor Ravagers team, the Cult of Condensation, need some motorbikes for getting across the big desert.
Mm.
So I've got plans to do the bikes on the big oval base, but make space for the 32mm Felgors to stand on that base. So it counts. It looks like it represents them on bike. Is the plan.
I like it so far. I'm a really big fan of those. Those jackal sculpts. And if I had any use for them in Kill Team, I would have got some by now. But I haven't. So I have never got it. But that sounds very good. I approve.
Yeah, that's me. I had to dig some tools out of a box that I'd already sellotaped up. But I had some fun last night with it.
Yeah, you must have been on the nice list to get all of that. Uncle Santa was good to you. No, nobody gave me any
definitely.
GW stuff. No, it's good. It's fine. I like to be, as you know, I'm a disciplined man when it comes to having too much to paint. Right, games. Right, this is an easy one.
Games-wise, it's the same one.
We've played each other.
Twice.
Well, we played two games. So we played the finale of the Morok campaign, which we will come to in a minute. But we... we had the afternoon and we managed to get in another game which I really enjoyed, so I kept the strike team Justian, but I got my first game against Felgor Ravagers, the super scary Summer of Melee, you know, oppressive team. That was a really bloody game, but it was good fun
for some.
I was scared to death. I was absolutely
one
scared
of us
to
was
death.
Tabled. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out long range shooting on a very short board with nothing to hide behind. Whew. We missiled ourselves at you.
Yeah, no,
as best we could.
Aggressive play from the Ravagers. But I was absolutely terrified because they obviously don't die very easily. But
no.
When you have the ability to double shoot, it certainly helps. And I think my good old captain plasmaed somebody, then charged in and all that sort of thing. So, but it must be, it cemented my feeling that the strike team Justian is not that terrible. They're very reliable.
No, I think that's it. They're super consistent. And as you were saying, low cognitive load. Elite teams are very simple.
Yeah, what have I been doing these last 2 years? I keep playing these teams with like 12 different operatives or something, all doing something fancy that needs to be chain triggered. And all I needed to do was just get a simple box of Marines with hardly anything to decide.
All the rules written on the cards.
Yes, well, we'll see. We'll see if they get a lot more play anyway. But yeah, I really enjoyed that game. The Ravagers are... and I'm sure, listeners, we will be doing another funnest teams in Kill Team. Certainly for a team to play against, they seemed pretty fun. You could be outrageously chargy and fighty. And roll lots of dice.
I really enjoy them. And that's my favourite aspect of the game. So win-win.
Yeah. Who's the real winner? I mean, it was still me. But No, we did really good.
Howling in despair and laughter on my end.
That's what you want your enemy doing, absolutely. Cool, right. Should we get to the news?
Should we move on to some news?
Well, there we are. Well, listeners, we have some good news. The Kill Team Salvation finally went up for pre-order just a couple of days before Crimbo Day. And there I was, 5 to 10 on that day, with three different retailers up, all logged in, ready to go. And I have managed to, and I hate the fact I have to do that. I just despise the fact that that's how I feel I have to do it. Anyway, did manage to pre-order Salvation, so that is on its way. I'll be keeping the scouts, and my good buddy Sean will be scorpioning his way into the scorpions. And what this does mean, of course, is we can absolutely confirm that we can give a proper review of the Salvation box, with the particular twist being
woohoo!
We can tell you all about the new campaign system, which I must admit I'm pretty excited about.
Everyone else has glossed over it for the most part online.
There was do. I think we're one of the very few.
It's where we fall into our niche.
Can you roll a crit at least mentions that there is a narrative campaign? So well done, John. But almost everybody else doesn't. Yeah, anyway, that's the big worldwide news. Do we have any local news?
Local news? Yes, we do. We launched our Escape from Pliskin Island campaign. The self-contained three-game campaign is available on our Ko-fi page, alongside the narrative cheat sheet and some funky objective markers with our logo on, should you want to really triple down on your support for the show. They're all up for free, but on a pay-what-you-want basis. So if you just want to grab them and play with them, please do. And if you like what we do, it's a really good way of just keeping the lights on in the studio.
Yeah, we're sitting in the dark.
Go check it out.
So, no, that's really good. And if you do play the campaign, let us know how you got on. We welcome a bit of feedback.
Yeah, I've seen we've already had a fair few people download it. So I think we'll hear back soon.
Lovely. Lovely. Okay, this has been more of a year in the making, but the Once Upon a Kill Team Morok campaign finale has happened.
This was Mission 3-3 Stealth Offensive. The enemy are out there, creeping through the shadows. You might not see them, but you can sense them. Let them get too close, and it will all be over, bar the screaming.
Sergeant Nelson looked around at the remnants of Recon Platoon Kilo Company of the 53rd Wexmouth. They are shattered, exhausted, and out of ammo. One more attack, and we are done, he thought. They had worked miracles to keep the Greenskins out of the base for so long, but this was the end of the line.
Just then the shadow of an aircraft crossed the base. The blunt shape of a Thunderhawk gunship flared for landing, and a squad of Astartes burst from the inside. Ignoring the guardsmen, the hulking armored marines quickly secured strong points and assessed the defenses. Nelson felt a relief so strong he almost broke down into tears.
In the desert, outside the outpost, bellows of anger and aggression marked the arrival of the giant orc stodies as they strode into the orc camp, casually beating aside these lesser, weaker orcs. These four behemoths strode to the top of the rise and gazed on the puny human outpost that had been such a thorn in their side. They all grinned as they saw the silver and green marines disembarking from the gunship. This was going to be a proper fight. In the mission, we actually did the sentry rules.
Wow.
I'm glad we did it one more time. It is cemented that I'm not actually all that into them.
I think. Well, it was a variation on them, wasn't it? Because we actually had a spotlight torch to move around. Yeah,
searchlight thing. And I think you claimed it mostly and just popped it in a corner or something.
Just kept moving it away from my infiltrator.
Yes, so not fussed about century rules, but the game itself, what a humdinger.
It was great.
Okay, so the Strike Force Justian team, which had landed, the relief force, the long-awaited relief force, they had a few advantages. One, they managed to get their sort of eliminator guy into a pretty unassailable sniper nest.
Yes.
That was pretty handy. That was part of the sentry phase element.
Yes, and he was forward deployed up on the antenna tower, wasn't he?
That's right. And then it was just, again, it was going back to what we were saying about the other game. This was just pretty reliable shooting. So even when you're up against the Stodes, the Custards, who are tough as nails, they are nails. just a bit of just relentless shooting with a lot of P1 didn't go amiss. Yeah. And I think one of the highlights for me was the captain, he's a monster, the Space Marine captain. So I think he super heat plasmaed your leader.
Yes.
Whose name is?
Oh, now you're asking me. It is, oh my God. Gorkrull Arch Crumper.
The Arch Crumper, right. So he supercharged plasmaed him, then charged him, and I think he beat him to death with his Power Fist.
Yes.
But blimey. Oh, and I think he died subsequently or something. But that was a great, bit of humdinging stuff. But I can reveal that the Imperium kept the base. Forward operating base Bowhead is holding. They're expanding into this sector, and I think there's a good chance they will suppress this. but what a fun campaign. I think I'm really glad we did it. Going through all the missions, I think we did a really good job of sort of stringing together a little narrative, what each one kind of meant. And I think in a way, story-wise, it held together. Because I think the Orcs had it good early doors, and then the Vet Guard... When I worked out basically how to use,
you swung it around.
When I worked out how to use the demo guy, that I think swung it around. The Commissar, of course, stiff. We can say he stiffened resolve in the middle there.
Completely.
But that was good fun. I would certainly, if you haven't had a go at this, I think it's well worth it. You could do what we did and just use sort of. We swapped teams in the finale, but you could use allied teams, different marine teams or whatever. I think that could be a way to go. But anyway, what was your thoughts?
That could be actually really cool, kind of like you're seeing multiple different battles all around the same outpost. That could be really fun. I really enjoyed stringing along the missions as they were written, following them through subsequently. And you and I, rather than just rolling for a random one, which is what we've normally done when we're doing our pickup London Wargaming games. And I really enjoyed it. I felt like each mission went on to the next one. And you and I just decided to attack a defender based on the outcome of the mission that we've just played, or the one that we at least played last. So it felt like everything had context, and it felt like a really strong continuation of the narrative itself. So I really enjoyed it. It didn't quite have the weight of winning the mission before would get you a bonus in the next one, or you know, that kind of, we like missions with consequences.
And if you want that, we have a campaign that we've just launched.
There we are.
There you go. You've got that one.
But it was really cool to see it almost play through as it was intended to be played. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the Morok terrain is my favorite looking terrain. In that it looks like an actual little base. And I quite like that. I think that's quite cool. I'm not sure. It does have a lot of open areas in some of those missions, which are a bit.
Those fences are so. What's the opposite of modular? They're so static, where, you know, with the spaces they can occupy.
Yeah, and they cut off areas a bit. Anyway, so I would definitely want to do something like this again. If I would consider it for Beta Decima when somebody's managed to put that together. But yeah, I would recommend. That was good. Thanks, man. You've been awesome.
It's been great.
It's been very good.
So that was the campaign. We've actually had a ton of responses after our last request for some help with some lore, haven't we?
We have. Although before we get to that, this is sort of the mailbag section. But I just wanted to give anyone who's contributed to the show, written in, commented on a post, sent us an email, you are just mega awesome. I'm sure this is, you know, the karma should give you all crits for your next two matches if you've done that. So thanks to anyone who's done that. But anyway, so Hearts of Oak lore update. I think we're going to have to do this in stages. I did wonder if we just get all the replies in, but I think it might be better to do it in bits. Okay. So, friend of the show, Gregor from Grimdark Gamers, mentioned, could we expand on how we came up, or how I came up with Hearts of Oak as a chapter name? And in a way, I sort of was reluctant because I didn't want to narrow people's thoughts, but I'm happy to. So very simply, I live in a place called Honor Oak in Southeast London, and I quite like it. I thought that's a cool kind of name. I like the oak thing. There's a park near me called One Tree Hill, which, you know, maybe that should be one of the ship names or something. And the whole bit of
Not a 90s drama.
I think I've heard of it. I don't even know what it is. I don't want to ruin any coolness I've managed to accrue. But this whole bit of Southeast London that I'm in was once the Great North Wood. It was back in the day, and of which there are still a few remnants. So it's that whole kind of forest oak thing. And then the other thing really is just my grandfather was in the Royal Navy. The Royal Navy's kind of official song is called Hearts of Oak, way back to sort of Nelson's era. So I thought that's a pretty cool name. So it kind of comes from that, really. Anyway, we've had a little bit of feedback. So here are some of the suggestions we've had.
So Jesse the Pastor has written in saying, this sounds like an Age of Sail naval officer theme. Aubrey, Hornblower, etc.
I think this is awesome, and I've previously used admiral names for my vet guard, so I probably wouldn't use Nelson, but I'm a big fan of the Patrick O'Brien books and the Hornblower books, so yeah, squeezing in some of those names I think could well be on the cards. Daniel Higgins on Insta, who I think also suggested my Inquisitor name, which was good, Flash Baptiste. I think he was part of that. Anyway, he suggested a naming theme of Celtic Britanno naming theme, possibly even Arthurian, the whole forest.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of, yeah, I sort of quite like this vibe. Should, you know, captains be Knights of the Round Table names? I thought that was interesting.
Ooh.
Should the chapter master be called like Pendragon or something? don't know, I thought that was quite interesting.
Oh, hell yeah.
Or even if you just had the concept of a round table for the, or, you know, we could make it a Decadon table or something for the captains. And Daniel also suggests the salamanders as the parent chapter. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to take that on board.
We've also had Core Ticks on Threads. They've suggested using the scientific names for trees as a naming theme. For example, Captain Rubra Quirtus, Rubra there, means red oak. How do you like that?
I love it. I absolutely love it. That could be really cool.
It would play into the high Gothic of it all with the Latin scientific naming and everything.
Yes. Also, fun fact about me, I used to work at the Natural History Museum in London. So I used to bump into quite a few botanist chums there. So I love that. That is very good. The crown so far, however, I think goes to Tommy B. Thank you, Tommy, who has written a fantastically long and detailed email to us, which I absolutely love. And this was brilliant. I'm only going to give you some of this, partly because I want to. There's some bits of what Tommy suggested that I'm gonna keep from you all and maybe add as we go. Anyway, so Tommy has suggested the Hearts of Oak hail from a planet on which the dominant continent is covered by a thick forest, which is considered sacred to the chapter. Definitely like that.
Yep.
They differ from Codex compliant chapters in many ways, most notably in the merging of the roles of librarian and apothecary into
apothecary.
One role. Now, Tommy suggested that they be called pastors, but from what we were talking about earlier, I'm now thinking they should be called druids.
Ooh, that's right? Cool.
Apothecary and librarian are called druid. How about that? That'd be amazing. And they care for the most sacred of the chapter's groves and lead the rituals with them. I think that could be cool. Now, this is where it gets good, I think. In these sacred forests lie rare heart trees that are especially revered by the chapter. Many of these trees have been growing for thousands of years and are rumoured to be fertilised by human blood.
Of course they are.
The Hearts of Oak chapter take a keen interest in Imperial Guard regiments. This sounds nice, doesn't it? Training and patronising them. They seek, nurture and sponsor the most valiant warriors. What a lovely bunch of guys. The best guardsmen, once they have proven themselves in battle many times, are invited to take part in the chapter's most selective and secret rituals involving the heart trees.
Ooh.
Do you think they get given to the heart trees? I wanted, you know, as much as this all sounds like a lovely, nature loving chapter, I think there's got to be something sinister about them.
Of course.
So I think this is really good. And Tommy also suggests that they are a Raven Guard successor chapter. So that's interesting. So there's more he wrote that I might incorporate later on. That's what we got so far, guys. A lot to consider there. Look out on Instagram and Threads. I'll be putting up some more prompts for suggestions. And we'll continue this onto the next episode. But that is fantastic.
I can't wait.
This is really taking shape.
It's got my brain juices going. What if they are a Dark Angels successor? Because the Dark Angels are also called the Sons of the Forest, because their planet Caliban had like giant mythic animals that the knights there would go defeat. And it's kind of all tied in. You've got Arthur and the Round Table that you could have up top. They're all knightly based, and they go slay all these monsters.
Yes. Okay. That's Sean's
could
suggestion.
Be cool. That's me. That's me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you have a suggestion for this or anything else, you can contact the show onceuponakillteam@gmail.com. We're also Once Upon a Kill Team on Instagram and Threads. Do hit us up.
So now we've got the main topic of the show, which is our 2023 roundup. And it's been a pretty busy year.
Well,
it was chock a block.
It was a busy first half of the year.
And that's
then
true.
And then it went a bit quiet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, we all carried on, but
I've been busy.
You've been busy. Yeah. So why don't we just, as a reminder, let you know what the big boxes, the big stuff that came out this year. So early 2023, we had Soul Shackle. So cast your mind back to the lovely days of the Hand of the Archon, the sort of Drukhari team, up against the Space Cops, the Exaction Squad.
I remember you got very excited about them.
I did. I'm still pretty excited about the Exaction Squad. More of which when we talk about campaigns we've played in. Then, in very quick succession, I think we had Gallowfall, which was the Hearthkin Salvagers versus the Felgor Ravagers.
Yep.
Glad to finally got a game against the Felgor Ravagers. So that was good fun. But those first two, so, I mean, the thing that put me off getting them was I've already got the terrain, I've already got the Into the Dark terrain and didn't want any more. So yeah. It's interesting now that we're looking forward slightly. We're going to be in a position where terrain is separate from the boxes going forward. This it's going to make it harder to resist, I feel.
Maybe they're learning their lessons.
Maybe they are. Well, let's hope they learn another lesson, because the other big box, and this one really super interested us, was the Ashes of Faith. This was Chaos Cults versus Inquisitorial Agents. This was a dedicated narrative box with a whole narrative system. Very exciting. That was excellent. Loved it.
And we loved it.
That was the summer. And then at the end of summer, we had Strike Team Justian. We've talked about playing games with them, but that was a Heroes box, which don't have full narrative rules of their own, although, to be honest, I think you wouldn't go very far wrong using the intercession narrative rules, to be honest.
No, I think you'd be fine to do that.
And then nothing. Oh, they teased us with a new season.
Oh, yeah.
That we thought was Jungle. Oh, yeah. Do you still owe me a pint for that? Oh, my God. That was the bet. We had a bet.
Let's say yes, because then it's just an excuse for us to meet up. Let's say yes.
Yeah. And it's possible. I think you've already bought me drinks. But I think you've got to have this drink. This particular drink was the bet. Okay. Which was a bit unfair, because you said it was Jungle and I just said it wasn't, which I didn't come up with an alternatively good.
To be fair, they did since give us Jungle.
Oh, have they? They've given us rules. Oh, maybe I owe you a pint. Oh my God, this is complicated now.
Maybe we should buy each other a pint.
Maybe we should just get up and have a drink. meet up and have a drink. Okay, so they teased us, and they teased us, and then they teased us with these are some of the teams, and then everything went quiet for 2 months.
Yep.
And then they teased us with the box after that.
Well, not even Night a Lords. Box, just a team.
Oh, yeah, just one of the teams. Because it's just a rumour that we're also getting racks alongside
we don't know about the racks yet.
No, so a lot of teasing, and then finally the last knockings of the year, we could pre-order Salvations, but we'll not be counting that in the 2023 roundup, I don't think. Anyway, that was the main stuff. And it's interesting to look back that that's all we had, because we didn't quite get four boxes in a calendar year. Anyway, hobby though. Right. What hobby did you get done? How many teams did you paint this year? Oh, good. Not just paint for you. It's kit bash, entirely kit bash and then paint.
Yeah. It feels like tons, but I think that's because I did the majority of a team, then move on to something else and then come back and like fill out bits of the roster with like new operatives. But I've done my Khorne Legionaries, the Frenzied Maul.
Awesome. With your patented blood splatter device.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sadly went in the recycling, but I will be making myself a
new one.
Don't
say that. We were going to put it on coffee.
Oh, but, damn. Yeah. I'll put up the instructions.
patent pending.
And then, who else have I done? I've done my Felgor Ravagers, the Cult of Condensation, using the World Eaters Jackals.
And can I just say, having played them, they look awesome. They're just so cool.
I'm really happy with
them. Very well, you know, I love it. Message to friend of the show, Nick. I love it when I play people with painted miniatures.
Oh, don't. Don't. Who else have I done? I've started on the Inquisition. A lot of them are modelled up. They're just in different states.
You're going to let this sector of the go to rack and ruin if there's nobody inquisiting out there.
I know. And then I have started on my Blades of Cain because I got more excited about them than the Inquisition. So they are... I've got the Banshees done. Jane Zar's done. And we're going to be getting some Scorpions very soon. So
you'll be
I'm very happy.
Slashing the floor running or something. You'll be twirling the floor. I'm trying to think what the correct thing for the Banshees to do.
Pirouetting
the floor running something.
Exactly. And I'm not terribly enamored with the Dire Avengers so far, so I may just have it as Scorpions and Banshees, which will suit me because I'm a melee man.
Do you know if, because these are old Dire Avenger models that are only available,
yes,
now, is that right? And there's, yeah. Do we know if any new Dire Avenger models are coming out? Because
no, I don't think so, because well, I think not until the Eldar get like their second batch of models, essentially. I'm in the Eldar Discord because I got that excited about this kill team. Oh. So I joined the Eldar Discord. No, everyone's been having to make do with either Void Scarred bodies and Dire Avenger heads, or using the Storm Guardians bodies because they're like the new scale that everyone's been working to. Everyone's been making do.
Okay.
With what they've got.
All right, I'll probably hold off because it's very likely you'll get five of the Scorpions. That's all you need, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy to have all of them. But then if I have five, it'll make me tempted to pick up some Dire Avengers or something.
Exactly.
I don't really want to pick up the old models if new ones are coming. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath. They're still younger than a lot of the Eldar range.
I'm going to hold my breath until new Dire Avenger models turn up, and we'll see who's sorrier.
But yeah, I think that's all of mine. Apart from the odd extra operative here or there. Jason, I feel like you've done tons of hobby. Tons and tons.
Yeah, I mean, I am the winner, I think, on such that I've won 2023 hobby volume, I think, if not quality. Yeah, I was surprised, kind of, it's one of these things that you, or at least I don't really make notes on these, but I went back and by the 2nd of January, and I think it was over 2 days, I finished the Farstalker Kinband, so I'm counting that as 2023.
Completely.
Literally 2 days into 2023, and I sort of regret making them quite so uniform, because I love the models. I'm a big Kroot fan, but bearing in mind every single model does something very, very different and have different wound profiles and shooting profile and everything. Yeah. They all look a bit the same because I've given them blue skin and green cloaks, and they, you know, they don't, the models themselves don't look crazy different, really.
No.
I might even go back and make them, you know, give one a different cloak trim or something. I don't know.
Just to help differentiate.
Yeah, because it actually put me off playing them because I couldn't quite always work out which one's which. But that's partly how I painted them. Anyway, that was good. Project I really liked was I sold my Krieg, Hello, Patrick, if you're out there. Hopefully you're enjoying the Krieg. And I got the Cadian shock troops and the Cadian command squad sprue, and I kit-bashed these rowdy bunch of squaddies into a Vetguard team, which I'm super, super happy about. I really like them. I'm really happy with the little bits of kit bashing I've done. I'm especially
they look fantastic as well.
Yeah, especially like the demo guy, because he's sort of holding his helmet with one hand and holding a melter bomb in his other hand as if he's, I want to get rid of this, look on his face. So that was fun. That took me a little while because that's like 15 models. I bagged the Exaction Squad from a friend of the show, Sal. And that was my getting into white armor. I'd always, one of my goals for 2023 was to solve the make white armor not look rubbish. And yeah, I think
you did a stellar job.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with it. The only sort of problem was I mostly encountered them as an opponent in an act, and Sal mostly beat me with them, which just slightly takes off the shine of them. But that was very pleased with those. Void Boys troop. This is my proxy of the Void Dancer troop kill team, but with orcs, Storm Boy orcs, and a weird of boy course. Shaman. Oh, I love this. I've got some great third-party models. Yeah, I'm so pleased with these. I'm just a bit of a shame I've only played one game so far. But if only there was a
new kill zone.
A new kill zone that would really help if you could fly.
Only.
Well, it never happened. Chaos Cults, finished those, still not played a game of them yet, so that's something to look forward to. And then, of course, Strike Force Justian, the new homebrew chapter scheme. And then just one figure, I made an Inquisitor stroke Acolyte figure just for fun, and that was good. And on top of this, I think I also painted 4 Blitzblob teams. On top of that,
as you do,
but I couldn't even believe this. I've made no terrain this year. I've not painted any terrain, and I don't think I've even built any vehicles, which is odd for me. So there's some thoughts. I think the highlight for me was the Void Boys troop. I love that. Love the concept. Not enough orcs in the game. And what was your favourite of the ones you've painted this year?
I think I really put a lot of love and heart into my legionaries, but I think the Cult of Condensation, my Felgor Ravagers, look the best.
Yeah, they are awesome. Because
I'm really happy with them.
Like things like the water bottle on the back, you know, they're mostly half full water, which is not easy to do. Look great. Yeah, I'm really chuffed for that. Do you have any plans for 2024? What are you looking forward to?
What plans? What plans? Hobby plans. So obviously I've got my Striking Scorpions to come.
Yep.
To bulk out my blades of my Blades of Cain. Then I think I've been hoarding some Space Hulk terrain that I've been getting from this wonderful 3D printer called Everlayer 3D. And he does these sales all the time of like misprints. So I've been building up all of these Imperial ship interiors that they slot together modularly. And I think I really want to take a proper stab at doing those some justice. I want to have each room with its own theme, and then we could just build it won't quite be a kill team board, it might probably be a bit bigger than that, but we could play something through it. I think that'd be really fun.
Okay, that sounds pretty, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. What about you?
I have the Space Marine Scouts on the way, so they'll be Hearts of Oak So they'll be either acorns or saplings. I'm thinking saplings now. Acorns is...
Saplings are cool.
In the...
Too little. They're too the little. Aspirants.
Yeah, they're the... yes. also, I've got another idea for what to do with acorns. But yeah, so the sapling scouts team. And then the other thing, which I've got vague plans, but I think will happen in some respect, I'm going to make my own Beta Decima terrain.
Cool.
I really want to get into making my own terrain. So I'm sure there'll be episodes on that. Looking forward, but I really want to do that. It's one of my favourite things with household objects and bits of plumbing and stuff. Let's see what we can't build.
Oh, this will be cool. 2024 is the year of terrain.
Yes. You heard it here first. events and tournaments. Now there was. Early in the year, Warhammer Fest, which you went
yes,
to.
Yes, of course.
How was that?
I loved it. Me, Nick, and Sal all went up and hired some accommodation, and we had our 2-day kill team tournament there, and then we had the third day just to explore the event itself. I thought it was great. I thought it was really nice getting a lot of people who have very similar mindsets, and just it's really nice to be surrounded by people who enjoy doing what you enjoy doing. We can sometimes feel quite isolated in our little pockets and our little communities, but it was just really nice to have just a couple few 10,000 people rock up and go through this venue over 3 days, seeing all these different types of people, like families, people on their own, big groups. It was just really a really nice environment to be in.
Yeah, you were there for the Ashes of Faith launch, weren't you? I think, is that right?
Yes, yeah, we were. We were in the Kill Team launch room,
quizzing Elliot. Maybe was he there? Was that?
We did ask him a fair few questions. Yeah.
Pinning him to the ground.
Exactly. Hard journalism. That's what we wanted.
That's right. Yeah, we should get a press pass, maybe. That's what we need.
That'd be cool.
I think the only other event... I didn't go to Warhammer Fest. The only event I've done this year that I'm aware of was Killzone Ferra campaign event. And I didn't even play in it. I was more of a supervisory capacity. But you played in that.
I did. I had great fun in it.
That was good. Organised by a friend of the show, Sal.
Yes,
that was very good. One day,
That nicely, you can watch this space, because I think LWG are looking to do a couple more of those narrative one-shot events. So
yeah,
something to look forward to in the year coming year.
So if you're in London or can get to London, that would be excellent. And incidentally, if anyone else out there is planning a narrative event in particular, let us know. We're very happy to plug it on the show and through our media. We did a couple of podcasts with the very, very lovely guys from the New York Open who did their narrative event. We really want to support this kind of thing. We think that's a great way to play the game. So if you're running something like that, let us know. We'll plug it. Did you go to any other events, though?
Any other events for me? No, I don't think so. Actually, I may have done a Dark Sphere tournament right at the start of the year to try and get used to playing my Deathwatch Intercession, but I think I put them down very quickly after that. So, no.
when we spoke to John from Can You Roll a Crit, it was particularly after he went to the Warhammer narrative event, and he sounded like he had an absolutely fantastic time. If they run that again, I think
that's one I want to do as well.
I would really, because I've never been to Warhammer World, so that'd be quite nice to go. And it did look really well done, so we'll be looking out for that.
Maybe we could do a day trip.
Yeah. Yeah, go up to the north where they speak funny and stuff.
Exactly.
I'm constantly surprised to discover there are towns other than London. you know.
Spoken like a real Londoner there.
Born and bred, my friend. Born and bred. All right. Do you want to get some stats? I've got some stats for you.
I'd love some stats.
Okay. Because I, as a big nerd, I record every game I play, not just of Kill Team, but of any board game I play. I played 39 Kill Team games in 2023. That's down.
That's pretty good.
That's down from 47 played the previous year. No, that's all right. No, I was going to say this is a real positive, right, actually, because one of my vows for this year. So 2022, I hardly played anything else. I think I more or less played Kill Team.
Yeah, that's true.
Almost no other game, and I do have a lot of other, you know, a broader game interest than just Kill Team. So my vow was to play Kill Team a healthy amount, but not be the only thing I play. And I've had a great year. I've played loads of stuff I wanted to do, and Kill Team has just, you know, been about half of that. So I played 39 games. My win percentage, 43%. So I'm still losing more than I'm winning.
It means you're due a balanced data slate.
I've often been put off doing the OP teams, but I'm gonna stop worrying about it, I think.
Just do it.
So I'm, you know, even though they've got a nerf, I've yet to play the Chaos Cult, so that should be fun. And of course Void Boy's troop on Beta Decima. It's my time.
Too right.
So you'll be pleased to hear that you, Sean, were my most played person.
Oh, nice.
With 11 games. Friend of the show, Nick, I played 9 times. So he was the winner last year, I think. The winner. Like, you win a prize for the amount of times you play me. That is the prize. You get to play me. And friend of the show, Sal, I played 7 times. And that's pretty good. Good buddies. And I've played lots of other people, fewer than that. Good. Campaigns. I played some Spec Ops earlier in the year. Did a Fastalker Kinban Spec Ops. I think I started doing an Exaction Squad one, but quickly stopped that one. But more formally, I did an Ashes of Faith campaign, The Wormblade, Return of the Cult, the good old Gene Stealer Cult versus Exaction Squad. This is with Sal. This was fantastic. I really liked Ashes of Faith. I would definitely do that again. I thought these two teams really just thematically were, you know, just really went together. And Sal and I played each game thematically. So we literally picked TAC Ops based on what thematically fit the mission we were playing and that kind of thing. So that was
Sounded like you both just had so much fun with it.
Yeah, and it was also nice to get back to the Wormblade, whom I have a real affinity with. Still Kellamorph, probably still my favorite operative. I'm a bit gutted that they now I've stopped playing that. They suddenly had a buff. Try not to get salty about that. But that was good. And then we played our Morok campaign, classic Commandos v Vetguard, super fun. I slightly feel I actually eventually got to know how to play the Vetguard, which...
Likewise with Commandos. They do say it takes about 10 games, so, you know, 9 maybe games in with them.
Because Vetguard were the first team I kind of tried to play a campaign with back in the day. And failed miserably. I could barely play the game, let alone work out.
Well, we were still learning the game at the time, weren't we?
I don't think they're a starter team. I started an Acolyte campaign. Hello to Rob Fodzilla out there, which I really recommend. That was a solo effort. Although I think I'd still like to do that as a co-op game. That could be something to do this year. Really fun co-op. So if you don't want to just be adversarial all the time, that's a nice opportunity there. And then I only play tested it, so mostly it was with rules that weren't finalized. But Escape Plissken Island, the campaign we just revealed, that was fun. The fact that it was just 3 games, I think, is about what I want to be doing more of. Really, I think 3 games is a nice, neat. maybe 5 games, but I don't know, 9 or more is quite an ask, really.
As fun as our Morok campaign was, 9 games is a commitment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, anyway, had fun with that. What campaigns did you run? Spec Ops, how did they go?
Mainly Spec Ops, and it was more of our random pickup games. But I did a whole mix. I've really enjoyed taking my a continuation of my Orc Stodies, where they are all grizzled now. It's obscene. To use slang, they slap the Orc Stodies when they're fully ranked up. Oh my god, they tear through. My Frenzied Maul, we got a couple of upgrades. I didn't really get to, when I'd finally finished the team is kind of when my kill teaming was winding down. So that was kind of, I didn't get as many games in as I wanted with them. And then my Cult Condensation, they got a fair couple of honors. But again, I didn't get that many games in with them. So it was kind of front loaded with the Orc Stodies. That's perfectly fine.
I love it. Yeah, always a bit gushy about your Orc Stodies. I think they're phenomenal. Okay, what full year we've had. What a full year.
So full.
But we're not just looking back into the past. We look forward to the future. So what are you looking forward to in 2024?
What am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to... This won't be a betrayal because it's still a narrative game, but I'm going to be diving face first into Necromunda.
I'm so sorry, listeners. I didn't know he was going to stab us in the back like this. No, Necromunda still looks really good. I'm sure I would really like to have a play with it. But that looks really good.
Yeah.
Which team are you taking?
So I'm using my Felgor Ravager models. So the Cult of Condensation, they're going to be called the same thing. Everyone's got their same names. So for me, it's the same models.
Yep.
The same guys. It's just different rules of how to play them. They are going to be a corpse grinder cult as the rules bases. But my spin on it is that they just want to harvest everyone's water. They want to terraform the planet into water world. They really don't mind how they go about filling their water bottles.
I think that's a lovely... it's a nice twist. I like it. That sounds good. Anything else?
We've got the Scorpions, obviously, incoming. And then I'm really looking forward to... Because obviously we've got a sneak peek of the Night Lords. I think we're going to have more and more flavorful and unique teams incoming for Kill Team.
Are we gonna ever get any Tyranids? Do you think?
I think we can hope, but I wouldn't hold my breath again.
I'm starting to wonder. I don't think they are coming. Or maybe they're not.
I think they might not. But
I still can't quite believe how many Eldari teams we've got. 4 bespoke teams, and if the Rax rumor is true, that'll be 5. And one, you can generously say the Gene Stealer cult are a Tyranid team, which might be one.
Yeah, generously, I guess. Yeah. I guess. Another thing I'll be looking forward to is maybe we get another narrative box like Ashes of Faith, because whether or not it was bought for the right reasons, for me, that being people wanting to play a narrative game with them, not cults are overpowered, let's buy all the cults teams up. I think we'll get a new box. I think Ashes of Faith will have done so well that it will have warranted a new narrative box.
Yeah, and I thought the system that they made for that, I don't know if they'd want to do the same again. It was sort of based on controlling areas of a hive, which I think, you know, it worked. It worked, and you had, you know, the between game card drafting element that was quite fun. Certainly Sal and I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
And some interesting little power-ups you got. So I like yourself, I would love it if they did that. That would be superb.
I really think that that'll be on the cards.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. Well, for myself, there is apparently a new map campaign system coming to us through, you know, the Salvation Box. So that's something I'm excited about.
Of course.
So apparently it's still based on the Spec Ops rules from the little we've seen so far. Yeah. But there is a map to presumably control territories and things like that. But we'll see.
Yeah, it looks like an evolution of the expeditions.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be feeding back on that in our review in the next episode. On a personal note, I really enjoyed putting together the small campaign that I mentioned, Escape from Plissken Island. I've got another one I've already started work on. Especially if this one gets any decent feedback, I'll do a bit more of that. I think they're good alternatives to the GW offer so far, as in they're a bit shorter, they're a bit more self-contained. You can use them for you know, short one-day events if you want to, or just with a pal. So I'll be doing at least one more of those, I'm sure, over the next year.
Busy guy.
Well, you've got to keep your hand in. I am very much looking forward to playing some of these teams that I've built and painted and are proud of, but not played with very much. So Chaos Cults, I've not had any games with. Got to give them a go. And I think,
of course,
the devotee models especially I really like. And I'm quite pleased with my incredibly bright magenta and pink paint scheme that they've got. The Void Boys troop, my favourite bit of hobby from this year, I love and can't wait to give them more of a go. And then there's these Space Marine Scouts thing, which I'm... Do you know what? The fact that they've only got, is it five or six specialists, and then you've got three or four regular guys, I'm actually thinking that I'm actually looking forward to not having too many different people to think about. And I do really like their sort of recon powers. You got to choose from a variety of different things you want to have.
The booby traps. Booby traps. Of course.
Which I have to say has given me a lot of food for thought for, if you cast your mind back a long time to when we were looking at how to make assassins work, because they don't really work. It's given me a few ideas for that, because I had thought of booby traps for them, but I was thinking that they'd have, you know, a stun effect, a smoke effect, and an explosive effect.
Gadgets and gizmos kind of thing.
But you know, the opposition wouldn't know which one. So those, and and then on the going back to the hobby thing, I really want to do my own homebrew terrain. I've also got an idea for converting there's a really weird looking plane. Plane enthusiasts, a Royal Navy plane called the Fairy Gannet, which looks really weird, and is from like the 1950s or 60s, I think. And I think it could be converted into an amazing orc plane. It just looks so. Look it up.
Oh, fantastic!
A Fairy Gannet. Wouldn't that be, if you convert it into a painted it orky, popped a gun turret on it or something. Anyway, there's some thoughts of mine going forward. But other than that, yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think on a podcast note, we're going to continue. You may have noticed our schedule has been approximately monthly, and I think that's likely to continue.
Yes, thereabouts.
We do this because we love it, but we don't feel very that we have to do something every week.
there's just not enough news.
No, but
we're under no obligation.
No obligation. That's the word I was looking for. So expect more of that from us. It looks like a great future for the game. So yeah, wouldn't that be fun? And next time on Once Upon a Kill Team, yay, we'll finally review Kill Team Salvation, which I think we promised for about 4 episodes.
Finally.
But this will be specifically from a narrative viewpoint, something you don't get in other podcasts. This is the Blades of Cain versus the Space Marine Scouts and a new campaign system. So, yeah, very excited for that.
If what you heard in this podcast sounded even remotely interesting, subscribe and tell your friends. For every subscription to the podcast, your Kaskin Melter Gunner whiffs their shooting roll. But it's okay, as they can magic the dice to obliterate the Marine anyway.
If you have a few spare pennies and would like to support the show, you can do so through Ko-fi, where we have many things you can download. There is a link in the show notes. Once Upon a Kill Team is always going to be free, but any help you give goes towards making the podcast better. Be awesome.
Thank you for joining us on Once Upon a Kill Team. Just remember, it's not whether you won or lost. It's whether your Christmas dreams of multiple boxes of models arrive to be added to your abundant shelf of opportunity.
See you next time.